What's up, Disruptive Innovation Podcast? It's Ashley Tajay.
Hey guys, that's your girl Nikki.
What's up?
What's up? What's up? Yes, we back to just... sidebar action.
Yes, yeah, some sidebars. So, what are we gonna get into first? You want to talk about Cuomo first?
Listen, we can do Cuomo. We can talk about my Cuomo.
So, what were your thoughts on this comment that he's saying that it's not God who, you know, it's controlling and helping diminish the coronavirus. It is him and the world, the nurses and doctors.
So if you don't know, there's a lot of buzz going on. I'm going to just catch the people up just in case. Yes. You pay attention to the news, or maybe you are outside of New York. If you haven't gathered, Disruptive Innovation is based in New York. Right now, currently, we are basically one of the epicenters of the whole coronavirus here in the States. So New York has some very high numbers. Our mayor is Mayor Cuomo. No, wait. Am I sure he's the mayor?
Girl, don't is give he me... a governor?
The governor. Sorry, the mayor is de Blasio. The governor
our mayor too. Is Cuomo.
He's our president. Stupid. Yes, I screwed that up. Didn't mean to say that. Definitely meant to say governor.
It's okay.
No, because people would be like, you can't even talk about it. You don't even know what he is. Because I know I would drag somebody, but it was just a little fake.
Yo.
Oh, man. No, but, like, for real, like, our governor, basically what he's been doing, he's been addressing the people once a day. So he gets on, he has his little conference, and he talks about what's going on. I personally am a big fan. I think he handles everything very well.
Yes.
But he said a statement, and the statement was, God did not bring the numbers down. We did that. Then he went on to say that fate didn't bring it down. It was in destiny, so on and so forth. So that's basically the soundbite that's being played for everybody, and that's what everybody's reacting to. So,
yes.
Ashley, you react to it first, because I got a laundry list.
Okay. So at first, I was like, whoa, like, what? Why would you say that? Like, I feel like no one, I mean, not no one, there are some people who are out here saying, like, it's God, but then there are some people out here who are just saying, like, thank you to the people who are out here, like, you know, work, the nurses, the doctors, the people working in the hospitals, the people who, like, all the essential workers, the, you know, people who work at the grocery stores and stuff like that. So it's like, I felt like it is God, but no, I wouldn't put, like, all of the credit to him, because I wouldn't put it all to him, but then I would put most of it to him, because it is him who keeps us focused, keeps us grounded, and keeps the people going. If that's what you believe in, though. Not everybody believes in God. So it's like, but for me, I know if I had to go to work, I would be praying before I go in and praying before I go out. Now, I do think that it does have a lot to do with us as well, because if you're taking the right precautions, I mean, it's a possibility that you won't get it, but it's like God is giving people the strength to be able to do work, you know, and these crazy shifts. A lot of people don't even have the right, like gloves, like, which is crazy. There's a lot of places that don't even have gloves. They don't have the right mask. So I feel like it is God, but I get Cuomo's frustration. You could tell that he's obviously not like a spiritual, religious person. So from his point of view, I understand what he's saying. But from a person who has a spiritual relationship, you're going to be like, hold on, I get you, but it is him too. Because he's given us the strength and he's given us the peace of mind. Some people, the peace of mind. Like at first, I didn't really have no peace of mind, but I pray about it every day and I feel more comfortable. And I know people who do have it and they're okay. Like they're getting better. So, I mean, maybe my faith would be a little bit different if the people I know that have it, they were, you know, dying or their conditions were being worse. Then I probably wouldn't have that same, you know, faith. But a lot of people, not a lot, but a few people that I do know that have it, they're okay. So I'm comfortable and I'm feeling like, you know, I feel peaceful and I feel like God is really, you know, working hard. So that's my thoughts.
So, all right. I feel like I understand what he's saying because I listened to him in his entirety. Basically, okay. What he said is I have 19 million people that I'm responsible for. I'm going to pause right there at that thought. Have you ever tried to get 10 people to listen to you, let alone 19 million? Girl.
10 of your close people, 10 of the closest people you have, you can't even get them motherfuckers on the same page. Like,
listen, it's hard.
Word. People who are invested in you, they won't even listen to your thoughts and feelings. So let alone 19 million people you don't know. Right. To try and get
them, I can't even imagine.
Right on like one page. And I feel like that was his point is, listen, I got 19 million people, not just people, but let's talk about it, New Yorkers. New Yorkers are the most stubborn. And he's right. We are.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, y'all are so stubborn. I love you, but you're stubborn. And I'm responsible for all you guys. I asked you guys to stay in place and to stay in the house. And if it's not necessary, don't go outside. I drive by parks in the city and there are people outside playing basketball. Like, what is it that y'all don't get? So I right. get his frustration in saying, like, listen, this is very serious. We have 18,000 people in New York hospitalized every single day. Our numbers are 18,000 a day. And that's us bringing down the plateau. Understand. That's us bringing down. That's us containing it. And we just got outside of outbreak. We're like 0.03 or 0.3 percent of being right back into outbreak. And it took a lot of work to get there. So that being said, and then also seeing things like churches still having their services, because the pastor says that God is going to protect us from the COVID virus. And then you see the pastor being infected and dying and then, you know, driving up numbers. People are dying. This is a real pandemic where you have what they call cause and effect. And I think like people of faith have an issue with cause and effect. So I get his standpoint in the sense to where, listen, I'm painting a very real picture for you. All I can do is give you what's real, propose something to you that makes sense and hope that you buy into it. And I don't think what he meant to say was God has nothing to do with it, because I do believe he is of faith of sorts. But I think his point is, you know, I'm dealing with people who are being ignorant and you're choosing to be ignorant. So during this time, I'm not going to give you an inch so you can take a mile, because I'm responsible for you. Anybody that takes that out of context, you're part of the problem.
Period.
It's not my favorite thing. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't favor you saying God didn't bring this down. I think there's better ways to say it, but can I hear your heart in that? Hell yeah. We got stupid motherfuckers out here doing dumb shit and saying God told them to do it. I'm not leaving this to chance. No, it took really hard work for us to get to where we're at. Point blank, period. I rock with him. I think he's right.
Yeah. Now, the way that you explain that, if that was his point of view, I would be down with it.
Like, we just too stupid. We too fucking stupid, man. Like, no.
Because people thinking, like, it's a joke. And it's like, it's not a joke. This ain't never happened in my lifetime. I ain't never seen nothing like this happen.
No, for real. For real. People just wilding. And I mean, he was like, it's not God. It wasn't fate. I think there are better ways to say it. But from what I heard, from what I gathered from what he was saying, it was more so like, it wasn't just a miracle. It wasn't just because it was this time to come down, or fate brought it down, or it was destiny that it came down. No, guys, like, we're not out of this is really what he was saying. And I still need your buy-in to be compliant, because we're not out of the hair of the fire. That's what I heard.
And it goes back to like that whole Christian thing where, like, if anything good happens, oh, it was God. But then when bad stuff happened, it was the devil. So it's like, well, what are we doing? Like, who are we going to blame this on? You're going to blame it on the devil? And then since some people are surviving, but some people of faith are dying, who are we going to blame that
it's
on?
Because word. And it's like, we do dumb shit sometimes. Like, and let's not forget, like, I'm of the mindset, I do try to give all the glory to God, even when, whether things are good or whether things are bad, I do believe in trusting God and that, yes, anything that's, any good that comes in my life, I believe that only God is good. So yes, I'm going to give the glory to God. However, I do realize that I have an active role and that faith without any work is dead. Is it faith at all at that point? So I don't fault him on that. I can't fault him on that. He's trying to save people. Like, everybody tripping.
That is true. And Cuomo ain't died yet, but that pastor died.
For real.
He's gone. So he said it's sad, but it's like, you set up that service talking about we gonna be fine and we're not. And well, we are, but you're not. And then Cuomo out here telling us what to do and he good. So it's like, yeah, we need to listen to Cuomo right now.
For real. And I feel like anybody who's tripping over that, and I know, like, we do get kind of political sometimes. I'm not really a fan of everybody. I'm not going to lie. He made me a fan of him. I don't really know a whole lot about his politics. But, I mean, it's the evangelicals that are really taking an issue with this. And, like, Trump has said some really crazy things. Like, he said things to where he feels like he's never had the need to repent, yet he is the evangelical favorite. Like, how do you let that slide, but you can't let this slide? Or you can't see what's behind the statement. If you can have grace in one area, you're going to have to extend it in all areas, baby.
Exactly. Because he's no different.
No different. Exactly.
Yep. That's why I feel like it definitely has to go, like, your faith and your relationship with God, it has to be between you and him. Because what? Cuomo ain't say nothing more crazy than what Trump has done or said.
No, for real, for real. You got that. That's,
yeah. So would you vote for Cuomo if he went, if he ran to become president?
I would vote for him. Based off of this, absolutely. I really, really like the way he's handled this whole thing. I feel like he's shown leadership, compassion, reality. He's smart, like fat.
Yes, yeah, like, yes. Now, did you see him arguing with his brother?
No, I didn't see that.
I thought that was so funny, but people took offense to that. Like, what? You know what's going on in the world? It's like, this is what we need to see, though. Although there is a lot of crazy going in the world, it's good to see something to, like, kind of take your mind off of it. Because when you're always thinking about it, it kind of stresses you out. It gives you anxiety. You start to panic. But when you start to see something good and funny and natural and real going on during this pandemic, I feel like that's good for us.
I didn't understand. Like, I saw clips of it. I didn't see, like, the whole thing. I don't understand why so many people took offense to that. I thought it was really endearing.
Exactly. And it was funny.
Yes. Like,
I thought it was funny.
Bro, it's like one thing, I don't know, like, this is what I don't understand. Like, President Trump, his whole response to this whole pandemic, right? You can see it. You can't say it's fake news or whatever the heck ever. Get out of here. Like, you can literally see the timetable of how he responded. And to me, it seems very dismissive. Unless there's something else brewing behind the scenes that we don't know about. I'm going to give you that. I'll give you a little bit of rope there. I don't know everything, so I'm going to give you a little bit. But you can see that, and you can see somebody be so dismissive and not have a problem with it until the whole world is on fire. But Cuomo's been giving us the real since day one because he's been handling business, and he takes some time to just show you that he's human and that you can have, you know, transparency as a leader and some endearingness, and that's what's problematic? Nah, I can't give it.
Exactly. And that's what makes us think, like, what is going on? Like, what is going through people's heads?
Yo, these people are crazy. There's a whole new brand of people out here. I don't know.
It is. It's making me, listen, I told you, I said, once the corona is over, I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to be nicer. I'm going to be more happy. I'm going to greet everyone, even people I don't know. But I'm starting to think, like, nah, I still got to.
You know what I'm saying? I feel you.
I still got to hold it down.
Y'all motherfuckers are stupid.
But, right. So I'm just going to wait. But... So, Insecure is back.
I'm so excited.
Me too. Now, what did you think of the first
episode? I thought it was really, really good. It drew me right back in. Thank you, Issa, for finally coming back.
Yes. This was like first season, second season of Insecure. This is how I feel. Like, I can't wait to watch.
I'm really excited. And she did a really good job. Like, she's been doing a good job drawing out the tension. Like, in the plot, it's like it's a good thing because you want to watch it and I'm all for it, but it's like, damn, I feel the tension. I don't like the fact that Lawrence is still on the show, but I see how it's necessary, but I don't like it.
I low-key, I get you, because it's like, all right, y'all broke up. When did they break up? They broke up, like, what, season one?
Either season one or two.
Like season two, they were still like, you know, dabbling, dabbling. But like they officially broke up. So season two, because then he moved out. She moved. Well, he moved out and then she ended up moving with her guy friend. Which he
was like him.
I wish they would bring him back.
I much rather see Daniel. Bring him back.
Yeah, because he was cute. But I don't. So all right. So now how do you feel about, what is her name? Tiffany? Amanda's character? Don't you feel like she playing with girl code by introducing somebody else to Issa's?
Hell yeah. And especially that's Issa's like inner circle. It'd be different if that was just like, you know, your removed homie. No, you were in a circle and you met 5 years. That's a 5-year ex and you're introducing somebody to my ex and you on my inner circle. Oh, hell no. That's definitely a violation.
Like, she's doing too much. I don't really like that. And it's like, I feel like a lot of, not a lot, but some pregnant people be doing stuff like that. Like, they feel like they can get away with it because they're pregnant. But it's like, you can still get touched.
No, that's a good point. Them pregnant people wilding.
Just because you're pregnant, don't mean I will backhand you in your face. I'll hit the baby, but
your face ain't pregnant, bitch.
You need to not do that. Like, she's bugging out. But then how do you feel with Molly's attitude to, like, Issa? Like, what are you doing?
That's a really good question. I think Molly projects a lot onto Issa because Molly is unwilling to confront the things in herself that she needs to work on. So she sees Issa as an easy target, I think, because she's close to her. And she's got unwillingness to kind of resolve her own issues. So it just kind of comes out. I think Molly was out of pocket big time.
Very. She's bugging. And I'm glad Issa did not flip out. I'm glad Issa was like, just, I see you, I hear you, and I'm gonna move accordingly. But I'm glad she didn't flip out, because I don't want them to ruin their relationship. But I do think that there needs to be like a deep conversation, because Molly is bugging.
I agree. I think Issa showed some really good growth this season and this year. I'm excited to see where that takes us. I think they do need to have a really good conversation. It would be very interesting. I could see Issa's character, because of her growth and like what I see kind of happening, I could see her character being ready for it, but Molly not being ready for it. I think Molly's going to get real offended and it's going to mess up their relationship for a little bit of time.
Oh, and I hope that doesn't happen.
I know, because I love Yvonne Orji's character.
Yes, but Molly bugging though. Like, even with her and the guy, like, I really like her and I don't know his name, but the Asian guy, I really like
She was butthurt. She was butthurt over the
And how you gonna feel some type of way? Like, y'all not, it's not a real relationship yet. Like, you guys are just
that is true. I get that. I could be that type of personality. Like, I get that though. Like, I could be like, man, Nick, are you thinking with your head or are you just being emotional because you feel some type of way?
Yes. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like she's bugging out. I feel like she needs to, I wouldn't ruin that relationship just because he's dating someone else and y'all ain't making
it. No, that's real. And she humbled herself a little bit at the end of the episode. She spoke her truth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But she needs to
apologize. She does need to apologize. I agree with that. But I think it's important that we all speak our truth. You know, a little emotional health there. You got to check in with yourself emotionally. You need to tell the people in your life, you know, really what's going on with you. So
exactly. I definitely agree. So I'm definitely looking forward to Insecure this season. I feel like this is going to be a good season.
I agree. I definitely hope it is a good one. And I hope we don't get chintz. Like, don't cut us off at like 6 episodes or some bullshit like that. Like, give us a whole season.
That's what I'm saying.
We need 10 episodes.
Yeah. Right. Or at least 8 1-hour
episodes. I need Issa to get a victory, though. Like, I'm so tired of her, like, kind of bottoming out. You know what I mean? And taking everybody's shit. Like, I need a big W for Issa. Like, I need something to come through where she gets a victory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something big. And a real man, a real relationship, maybe a kid, like, something, or the business pop up. Like, something needs to change. Something gotta happen. All right, so then we didn't do our would you rather question, so we're going to end this over with would you rather, and this one is funny. Would you rather have a head the size of a tennis ball or a watermelon?
I'm so dumb with you, yo. What the hell?
I'm going to say I would rather have the head of the size of a watermelon.
Okay, why?
I'm gonna say watermelon because, like, you ever see like an adult with like a small head? It's just like, ew, like my head's so small. It's like, where's your brain? You understand what I'm saying? So I feel like if I got a big head, size of a watermelon, hopefully it's like a little mini watermelon, I'ma just get some bangs and I'ma just have to cut it to shape my little watermelon head. So I'ma do a watermelon. I feel like if I get some bangs, it'll cover it up a little bit.
Oh my God. I don't know. You and these questions. I'm like, where did she get this stuff from? To the listeners, this is all Ashley Tajay with these questions. Now, I'll have to rock with the watermelon only because you're not going to be able to see me with the tennis head. And you need to see me. You need to see me. I'm important. You need to see me. So I'm definitely going to, I guess I'll go watermelon.
You got to do the watermelon. Just imagine, like, we seeing you and your head is
the size. I got a question. All right, so it's quarantine. Have you gotten creative? Like, what's up? Do we have any new drink recipes, any new mixes, anything that's tasting good, any new recipes? Tell me something that you've thrown down, either food-wise or drink-wise, that you think people should try right now.
Oh, my God. I haven't done anything different with, like, drinks. You know what? I haven't even, like, had a drink.
Boo. Okay.
This whole freaking quarantine.
Oh, okay.
I have been cooking more though. So the other day, I really wanted to go to Chili's, and all those Chili's is open. I'm like, I just don't trust anybody right now.
Welcome to my life. I just don't trust nobody ever.
Dead serious. So I went to the store, yo, got everything, and I made like the mini burgers. I made the Southwestern egg rolls. I made the honey chipotle crispers, and when I tell you, I don't even want to go back to Chili's. Like, I couldn't believe, like, I copied the exact recipe and I made it that way, and I cannot believe how good it was. Like, I felt like I was actually.
That's what's up. Okay.
That's what's up. So I was like, yeah, I'm not.
So where'd you find the recipe? Or at least,
you know what? I just went on their website and I just, like, read everything that was in there, and I was like, I'm just going to imitate this. Now, I know, like, they probably put, like, a little different seasonings and stuff. But, you know, when you at home and you jazz it up with your own seasonings, you get, like, your own taste. Sometimes it's even better.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good tip. So, you make in some of your own or some of your favorite recipes or your favorite meals from your favorite spots at home. That's what's up.
Yes. Because a lot of people are taking that risk and still going out to these restaurants getting the food. And it's like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of people are ordering out. No, that's a big thing. I mean, yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
Be safe. So what about you? What you
make? I haven't had any creative drinks. I was actually hoping to steal some from you, but you let me down. Oh. No, I'm just kidding. I've been cooking though. I mean, I feel like I always cook. Yo, I did this thing. Oh my God. When I tell you food porn, it was food porn to the T. Mad good. I made my chicken tortilla soup, but I do that and I do it often, but I do it very, very well. But what I did differently is I made like fried tacos, like fresh fried tacos on the side. So what I do in the chicken tortilla soup is I shred the chicken. So I took that shredded chicken and some of the contents of the soup. The peppers, the onions, some of that real juicy flavor, like a little bit of just the soup juice itself. And I put it into a corn tortilla. No, flour. Scratch that. Flour tortilla. I laced it, layered it with some just shredded cheese, and I fried that. Like, I deep fried that. And then I took that and I dipped it in the soup. Girl. Change your whole taste bud life. Like, that was bomb.
That sounds amazing.
Like,
oh my God, that sounds so good. All right, when the quarantine is over.
For real, I got you.
Yes, I need that. That sounds really good. But no drinks?
Maybe. No, I'm slacking. Like, I've been so basic. Like, I killed a bottle of whiskey and Hennessy, but I didn't do nothing special with it other than drink it.
You ain't do nothing special with it. Oh. Well, then listen, we're gonna have to. That's for the next episode. Then I'm gonna make some drinks.
We definitely should. And anybody that's listening, please make sure that you follow us on our social medias. I know a lot of people don't know that we have an Instagram. Yes. It's Disruptive Innovation. So at Disruptive Innovation Podcast, please follow us on Instagram. Yes. You can post questions. You can interact with us. You can post recipes. You can ask for recipes, like you different things like that. Like definitely interact with us. We'll make sure we'll interact with you. Any content that you want to see or hear from us, let us know. Hit us up there. And I think that's all we got for y'all today.